Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, just the sound of that music brings a smile to the faces of people of a certain age. Susan and I are of that age, and that is the theme song to an iconic show called Leave It to Beaver, who featured a character by the name of Eddie Haskell, played by Ken Osmond, and sadly, Ken passed away earlier this week. And we wanted to pay tribute to him and to the enjoyment that everybody on that show gave to so many of us. And so we are so happy right now to be joined by, and there's only one way to say it, I guess, it's so hokey, but Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. Jerry, Howie Rose and Susan Waldman with you. How you doing today? And thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, my goodness. You have no idea. I am grinning from ear to ear. I'm a grown, sophisticated New Yorker, and this is really something. And it was Howie's idea, because Howie and I were talking about Ken Osmond and what that character meant. And Howie, you want to take it from here?
Well, I'm just curious. First off, Jerry, had you been in touch with Ken any time in the recent past, known he was sick? And how often had you been in touch with him?
Well, I wasn't in touch with him every day, for sure, but he had been sick, honestly, for quite a while. He was a fighter, though, and, you know, from everything from people did, I don't know if you know this or not, but he was a Los Angeles motorcycle cop and then shot in the line of duty, and he couldn't go back on the force because of the way he was shot, and he was just a wonderful patriot. I mean, if you ever wanted to know somebody that loved America and was a true patriot, it would be Ken Osmond.
Wow. And you know, and we were talking about, because everybody, we sort of make jokes about how everybody knew an Eddie Haskell. But to me, there was more going on with Ken Osmond and his performance. And I was a little girl like you are. I'm between you and Tony. So, but I remember that there were times when Eddie Haskell would say, you know, kind things to Beaver and give him right things. So he wasn't that awful character all the time, which led me to believe that he must have been a terrific kid underneath that and really a wonderful man.
Oh, very definitely. Nothing like Eddie Haskell. But, you know, just a kind of guy that he was very, very mechanical, and he owned several houses that he rented, but he was a terrific. His dad was a carpenter, and so he knew all the skills. And, you know, if something broke in your house, and I always think I could fix it, and I might call him up and say, you know, this is leaking, you know, exactly what do I need to do? And he says, well, wait a minute. You know, like an hour later, he'd be at your house with the part, and he'd want to help you fix it, except he'd end up doing it all.
You know, there's a part of me that's actually disappointed to hear you say that he was nothing like Eddie Haskell, because he did such a brilliant job of portraying such a unique personality that I've always kind of hoped that, well, there must have been some authenticity to it, but actors act, I suppose. And it seemed as though the entire group, because I know that there were several iterations of Leave It to Beaver beyond its initial runs, were, at least to the naked eye from a distance, especially close. As a group, were you?
Well, we were all very close. The funny thing about working with Ken was, you know, suddenly you were working with him and he was a totally different person. He'd come out with those lines and they were just so good. But, you know, and you'd walk away and he turned into this wonderful Ken Osmond again, who was just the nicest person you'd ever want to know. A really good mechanic. He He owned several houses that he was the carpenter for all of them and had a lot of friends. So he was just nothing like Eddie Haskell.
It's interesting, Jerry, and we were talking about that, and I've been talking about it with other people when we tried to see if you'd come on with us here in New York. There's something about this show, and I would dare say that if I hit enough buttons on my on my television right now, Leave It to Beaver would be on someplace in this world. It would be on. And there's something, there are many shows that started in the late 50s that you don't see, and there's something about this, and I know people that are young enough to, you know, to have their own kids and then their own kids, and everybody teaches them Leave It to Beaver because there's something about that show. When you were a little boy, did you have any idea what kind of an impact that show was going to have on Americana?
No, absolutely not. You know, I hadn't done another series like Leave It to Beaver, but I'd been an actor since I was 2 years old, so I didn't a lot of movies and a lot of other series, but no one ever thought that, you know, a story about a little boy and his older brother and the family living in middle America would be something that would be on from 1957 and never having gone off the air. In fact, it shows now more because it shows every day instead of once a week than it did when it was on originally. But, you know, they just had wonderful characters. You know, the Beaver was the All-American boy. Wally was the All-American athlete. And Ken Osmond was the All-American person that everybody doesn't want to know but does know someone like Eddie Haskell.
And everybody has one. I remember I had that same ponytail and bangs as Mary Ellen. What was her name? Mary Ellen Foster. Mary Ellen Rogers. Yeah. I had the little bags and the. Okay, I've been waiting for decades to ask you this question.
Oh boy. Uh-oh.
Okay, when Gilbert and Allen and Beaver called Don Drysdale in the Dodger clubhouse, which is amazing anyway, was he actually there? Did you actually get to meet and be with Don Drysdale?
Well, I did, but only for about probably 2 hours. He did come into the studio and used one of our sets that we kind of they redecorated it to make it look like it was the dugout. But it was just he was a really nice guy, and of course I knew who he was because being in Los Angeles, just the nicest person. And he, you know, he said how happy he was to be on the show, and it was just a really fun time.
You know what, Howie, if you don't know that episode, and I did, it wasn't, it's a story of Gilbert, and Gilbert could have grown up to be Eddie Haskell. I mean, that's he had a little wise guy in him. But they called long distance, and the story was not that they talked to Don Drysdale. The story was that it turned out to be $10 instead of a dollar, and how were they going to pay, and what were they going to do not to get, you know, Ward mad at him. And the thing about Beaver was there was always an ending. There was always a reason for the show. And Jerry, I went back and I watched it again because I saw it. And as I'm watching, you said to Ward when, you know, you're going to clean the garage or whatever you're going to do for a week and not use the phone, was that it's okay because I don't want my dad to think I'm a sneak. And that's the lesson in there. So all these great stories, there was always a lesson in there. And I think that's the reason, one of the reasons that everybody just keeps watching this show.
Oh, very definitely. You know, there's always if you do something wrong, there will be consequences. No matter what Eddie Haskell or some of Beaver's friends tell him, you're always probably going to get caught. So you might as well just fess up right away, or better yet, not do it at all.
Yeah, and you'll wind up in a room like where I'm talking to you from right now because everybody's working from home these days. I'm actually sitting in my den, which was a feared place, I'm sure, for Beaver and to a lesser extent Wally, because whenever there was trouble, you'd end up in the den with Ward. But, you know, Hugh Beaumont was the actor who played Ward Cleaver. Barbara Billingsley played June, Mrs. Cleaver. And I know that for you, at least on the surface, they were co-workers, I suppose, but as you were so young and they were of an age where they could have been your parents, did either of them play a role in your life that was something into a second father or a second mother?
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, there were people that I highly respected. Hugh Beaumont was a Methodist minister who had got into acting just because he was working down in Skid Row with people that didn't have enough money to be able to support a church, and so he became Michael Shane And that was like what they'd call not a B movie, but it used to run in between the A and the B movie. And it was on television in the early mornings in the, I guess, 50s and 60s. But he was a really tough detective that beat people up. So when he got on Leave It to Beaver and could be, you know, the Ward Cleaver character, I think it was much more like the ordained minister that he really was. So it was a lot easier part for him to play, although he played them both great.
Wow. Yeah,
and what about June? Did she have some of those same attributes?
Very, very much so. She was
motherly attributes in real life to you?
A very well-known model.
Yeah.
She was very tall and with the blonde hair, and she had been a New York fashion model. And then she married, and her husband, who was a doctor, moved out here, and so that's when she became June Cleaver.
You know, a lot of times you look at, and I've talked to child actors before and all that, and you grow up and things aren't necessarily the same, but for you, I know you're aware, because we just called you. I mean, we're baseball announcers, and we're talking about Ken Osmond and decided, well, maybe he'll come on in New York and realize how much people, you know, still talk about him and still think about him. How great is it for you that you are part of something that can never be taken away? This is a character that you built, and you will always be that person. That has got to be really amazing to absolutely realize that.
Well, you know, it was me, and it was called Leave It to Beaver, but it was really the whole family and some of the characters in it, like Whitey and, of course, Eddie Haskell and all the other people. So the writers were terrific, and I couldn't have done any of it without them. And Hugh Beaumont and Barbara Billingsley and Tony Dow and all the other, you know, actors that worked on the show, we all just had a wonderful 6 years doing it. It was something that I loved to do every day. Everybody was very, very friendly. We really never had any big problems on the show. And so it was just a wonderful way to grow up.
Did the reincarnations, if you will, there was, what was it, Still the Beaver, and then years later came the new Leave It to Beaver. Did that rekindle what you had before, or was
it different? Oh, very much so. I mean, we did 6 years of the original, and then, you know, in the 80s, to come back in 82 and have the number two or number three movie of the week with the new Leave It to Beaver, and then to do it for the next 6 years and have another 200 episodes, it showed on Turner, I think it was Classics or Turner, one of Turner's, you know, networks. So it was just really nice, and we tried to get as many of the original cast. Hugh Beaumont and a few others had sadly passed, but, you know, Barbara was in it. It was fun to do something that you had so much fun doing as a child and to come back and work with the same people as an adult.
You know, and obviously...
And what is...
go ahead.
Yeah,
I know, and obviously Tony Dow. Well, see, Howie's in Florida. I'm in New York, and you're in California. So if we step on each other,
we have every place covered.
We try. Tony Dow, I know, did a lot of directing and is still around. And do you guys see each other? I don't expect that you talk to each other every day, but you've known each other since you were, you know, for 60 years. So are you still friendly?
Oh, very much so. You know, and it's like you said, it's with somebody that maybe you worked with, and, you know, they're very good friends. And, you know, when a few years ago when we were having kids and doing things like that, we, you know, that would be one of the first persons I would call, and we're very good friends. And sadly nowadays, it's a lot of times that someone has passed, maybe on the crew, you know, or in other actors that we worked with. But we're all still very, very good friends, and we have a wonderful time. I see him at a lot of, I do autograph shows, and so does he. So, you know, we see each other there, and it's always nice. It's like someone you worked with, you had a really good time, and, you know, then you see him again, and we all just have, you know, wonderful memories of working and being with each other.
I have an idea of what the answer might be, but is there one episode that when you meet people who watch the show growing up or even later on reruns, one episode that kind of overrides all the others when they say, oh, boy, this was my favorite?
Well, you know, there is one. It's one of my favorites. I have so many because a lot of them have to do with different actors or people that were in it. But the one that most people, I think, remember is when I crawled up on the billboard and fell into
it.
The soup bowl, and they had to call the fire department.
Yep.
And the thing about that show is that was the most expensive show they ever did, because they had to build that billboard with the big Super Bowl on it on the back lot of Universal. So it was a very, very expensive show. And the next, I think it was two or three shows, we didn't even have any extra cast, or they couldn't do anything, you know, outrageous because they had to save money to pay for that one show.
You know, that's amazing. And I would love to, you know, how much that was? Because, you know, when you were, when I rewatched the Don Drasdo one, and the Los Angeles call was $10. Can you imagine now if they had done that? I wonder what that would have been now. Did they ever tell you how much that cost to build that set?
No, they just said that it was the most, the most expensive. And so, you know, it was something that they knew that it was going to be a good one. And they did debate it. We read it. And then they were debating when they found out how much it would cost to build that on the back lot. And it was postponed for a few weeks while they, in fact, for the next, I think it was two shows, it may even have been three, we only had the original cast, and they wrote shows without any kind of people that they had to bring in so that they could save a little money just to be able to pay for it.
You know what's interesting about that show also? The people you talk about not bringing them in, there were characters that were talked about for years. One was one of my favorite, and I was thinking about it, Edgar Buchanan, who played Uncle Billy. And I looked it up, and Edgar Buchanan was only in two episodes, but I remember him like he was a member of the family. There was one you went and they went away and you went to the movies or something, but he talked to you about how disappointed he was in you because he was this free-willy guy, you know, Uncle Billy. But you talked about Uncle Billy and Aunt Martha like they were part of the family, but they were only in a couple of episodes all those years, so you made the family bigger than it actually was on screen.
Well, very definitely, and he was in one of the very first episodes, and he was just a wonderful man, a lot of fun to work with, had a lot of stories about everything from vaudeville to all the different people that he'd worked with in the movies and all the TVs, but, you know, everybody on the set just had a wonderful time. We all got along great. There weren't any real people that were divas or that were, you know, wanted more of this or more of that. So everybody got along fine, and it was just a fun time. I went in there, and, you know, I'd go and see my friends every day, and we'd do a, you know, something, and we'd then go and see it, and it was just a lot of fun.
How did school work in those days when you were, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, being on the set for however many hours you needed to be? What was school like? Was it on set, or did you actually go to a public school?
Well, I did go to a public school for sometimes a month or two because we would shoot 39 weeks. Now, they tried to do that during the school year, but every once in a while, it would go one way or the other, and I'd go back. We wouldn't be filming, so I'd go back to a regular school. But for the most part, I got my education. It's probably the best education a person could get. Tony and I both had teachers from the L.A. Unified School District. My dad was at that time a vice principal and then principal, but he knew all the teachers, and it was an extra kind of perk for the teacher. So he could find, like, the best third or fourth grade or the best, you know, high school teacher for Tony Down, the whole system. They're also a welfare worker, so they get a lot more money. So we had some of the best teachers. And the nice part is if you're not quite so good in one subject as another, it's not like you're working with a class. They can bring you up to grade level and beyond in all your subjects. The ones you're better on, they just spend a little less time.
Oh, wow. And Tony was quite the athlete.
Tony was a great athlete, right?
Yeah.
That's what he was. He was actually an AAU swimmer and diver in 1957. I think he was 13 or 14 when he came on the show, and that's what they were looking for, was someone who was a real athlete. But he had been training since he was like 3 years old to be a swimmer and diver, and it was actually kind of intimidating when growing up with him, because we'd go someplace, you know, not during the show, but on holidays and things like that, we'd go to a hotel sometimes to do a personal appearance, and he'd get out on the diving board or a high dive and do flips and, you know, all sorts of wonderful dives. And I did one and got a belly flop and said, that's it for me.
Were you much of a sports fan? Did you play much ball growing up?
I did, but only after Leave It to Beaver. When I went to high school, I was a center on the JV and then the varsity team for 1 year, but the JV for two. And, it, you know, it was a really fun experience because I had a private tutor and so never had been in school with any other kids. So I spent all 4 years of my high school education. I went on to Berkeley. I have a degree in philosophy from the University of California at Berkeley.
Wow.
That's great.
That's tremendous.
And pretty
so
turbulent
now,
times, too.
Yeah. You were in Berkeley in those years, right?
I was actually a little past that, just because I went to a JC for a couple of years because I was in the National Guard, and I had to be within, I think it was an hour of where I had to report if there was, and that was during the time of the Vietnam War. But in case we were mobilized, they had to be within an hour of the house. So I did spend a few years between high school and when I went to college.
Well, Jerry, this has been great. We so appreciate you taking some time with us today to reflect on the life of your friend Ken Osmond, also known as Eddie Haskell, who had quite an influence on some of us, and maybe not as much as he was supposed to. But hey,
well, you know what? If you turn out like Eddie Haskell and become a police officer or someone that is just so devoted to the community and his family, it'd be a wonderful thing.
Wow, that's perfect.
Now, of course, you're gonna
listen to Yankee games on the radio to listen to me, and to Mets games on to listen to Howie. So now we're
Sounds
all family.
Good to me. I do it already.
Jerry, I can't thank you. I'm like grinning from ear to ear. I can't even tell you what this means to a lot of us. And by the way, I've been getting texts from people that are our age and said, this is unbelievable. Thank you so much for this. So we can't thank you enough. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Jerry, this was terrific. Thank you. And stay well. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Well, oh, my goodness. This might be the happiest I've been in a very long time.
that's the impact. And that's why certain shows live forever.
Well,
because,
you know what?
You're a Susan.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.